Good morning, Dathan. Good to see you this morning. That smile that he's got. I call him George every once in a while, and he lets me know his name is not George. So, he's a blessing to be around. If we could all be as happy as Dathan looks like he is most of the time, we would be in a whole lot better shape. Yeah. We have some events taking place in our world that are getting more and more vile. I don't know, how many of you do a lot of reading? Okay. And how many of you do a lot of reading in Christian periodicals to know what's going on in a lot of the churches today? What's going on in apostate American Christianity? It tells a story. And before I get into what I'm going to talk about this morning, I'm going to have to go back to Genesis chapter 12 next week. I'm not going to talk about it today. I have something else that I want to deal with. And one of the reasons I want to deal with it is some current events. I'll keep some things before us. By the way, before we get in this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. That means he's the exclusive way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. It's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we come to salvation, and by no other route. You cannot work your way there. You cannot turn over a new leaf to get there. There must be a change in your life. There must be the indwelling Holy Ghost of God in you that changes you. And by the way, folks, you ought to let that light of that indwelling Holy Ghost shine forth in your life so that others may see the Lord Jesus Christ that is in you. There ought to be a change in your life, and there ought to be some things that you do not any longer accept. There ought to be some things that offend you. I realize that Psalm 119, well, verse 165 talks about that nothing shall offend them. That's within the context of being a child of God. The things that go on outside of us we're seeing a country being literally ripped apart at its very core. We are in very serious trouble. And the election of Donald Trump has not changed that. There may be some things that will get done that will be more pleasing to us than what they were under Obama. But until this country repents and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to see anything right behind me here. We're not going to see anything that will make any difference in the conditions that the Christian has to face in our society. American society is reprobate. Reprobate to the core. We're wicked to the core. I wish that it were not so, but it is so. Amen. This morning I will mention some things, and I won't mention the name of a particular group when I start in on my discussion. And one of the reasons I won't do that is I'm aware that we are being uploaded to the internet. And there's some things that you have to be very careful about. Brother Edward said it last night. We got to be wise in the things that we do. We cannot go in an open attack on somebody. When we go after somebody, we need to go after them in the Spirit of God. We need to go after them in love. And we ought to always have the Lord Jesus Christ at the center and use his methods. Try to use him as our example to teach and to preach are the things that do. Because there are certain things that the Lord Jesus Christ would not tolerate within the church, within what was supposed to be the assembly. Because he, remember, he threw the money changers out. And there are certain things that in the church we ought not to tolerate. And today we have just too many churches that are tolerating some things that they ought not be tolerating.
Amen.
What I'm about to read to you, I sat down and wrote this up, but I want to give you a little bit of an introduction to it. The discussion that follows was triggered by an article on sermonaudio.com that documented threats by the National Football League to remove the opportunity for the state of Texas to host the Super Bowl because Texas has proposed a state law to ban transgender bathrooms. That's what the NFL has done. They have put the state of Texas on notice that if you will stand for lawful principles, then we're going to boycott your state. That's what they've done. Now, I have a friend in Virginia named Ricky Hager. He's a brother in Christ. And he sends me stuff all the time, updates via email of articles and stuff that he goes and reads. He's almost blind, but he's got a screen reader and he reads. And he goes to Sermon Audio a lot. And he forwarded this particular article to me that I'm talking about this morning. Now, what follows are my comments concerning the transgender issue as it relates to professional sports and Christians who watch professional sports. Some of this is probably, it may offend some of you. I hope it doesn't. And it may, but I'm going to say it anyhow because I think it needs to be said. How many of you in here are big football fans? I'm going to raise my hand first. I was at one time. I'm not anymore like I was at one time. I used to be ravenous, if you will. I live to watch football. And unfortunately, the last couple of years, I've got back into the habit of watching some football games, and I'm going to have to stop it. And the reason that I'm going to have to stop it, and my wife, if you'll talk to my wife, she'll tell you this is true. I say and do some things while I'm watching football games that I ought not to say and do. I have, and folks, to be blunt about it, my attitude is ungodly. And when it goes that far, then you must do something to correct it. One of the reasons that I have a problem in participating in the back and forth over sports teams and the rivalries and stuff like that is I'm afraid that I'm going to offend a Christian brother because his team loses. And then I start harassing him because his football team lost or mocking him. And folks, you may not believe this, but that angers a lot of people. And I'll be honest with you. I'm in flesh also. It riles me up when somebody does that. And many times, because I am weak in my flesh, I don't say anything to somebody because of what I'm afraid they'll say back to me. That's not the right motive, is it? My motive ought to be, I ought not say anything to anybody because I'm afraid it will offend a brother in Christ. That's what the motive ought not to be, not what his response might be to me. But a lot of our attitudes when it comes to our sporting events are ungodly. If you have an issue with that, you need to get away from it. And that's what I have to do. That's me. I'm talking about me here, okay? So for years, I followed the National Football League. I probably have watched, maybe two or three games in the last few years of pro football games. But I've had to get away from it. I had to get away from it for the very same reason that I had to get away from my bass boat. I loved my bass boat. I would put my bass boat in two or three times a week, and folks, when I got out into the river, I was gone for most of the day. That bass boat was hindering my service to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to get rid of it. That's me, and that tells you that I'm weak, folks. And most of you, if you will admit it, you are too. There's things that you can be triggered on that will cause you to do some things that does not honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about stuff where you might have a bad temper or something like that, but what it'll do is it'll result in that hobby or whatever it is that you do stealing time from the Lord Jesus Christ, stealing time from your service. That's what it'll do for you. And I'm not saying we ought not to have some hobbies, but what I am saying is if you have a control problem with it, you need to deal with it in a godly fashion. And that's what I've had to do. That's my protection for myself, okay? So when I criticize sporting events and all of them can become a god. Your bass boat can become your god. Football can. Golf clubs can. A fishing rod can. And there are just a number of things that can become gods. Professional sporting events and you name it. Your vehicle, your motorcycle. You go right on down the line. We all have things that can latch on to us and take control of us and steal time from God. You got shopping. But by the way, now, football is a mania that has not just taken hold of men. It's taken hold of women, too. So, and I'm not saying it's bad to sit down and watch a football game. If you can sit down and do it and not have it to steal a lot of time, you go ahead and do that, okay? But if it becomes an obsession with you, you need to deal with it, okay? And that's regardless of any hobby that you might have. I'm not giving you an out, but I am telling you that it's not a sin to sit down and watch a football game. Now, I refuse to go to another college football game, and the reason I refuse to go to another college football game, I don't care who's playing, is I went to a football game after I was saved down here at the Gator Bowl when two college teams was playing down there, and I heard some of the most ungodly language, filthy language, and all of the alcohol and stuff that was there. And for me as a Christian, that was not a place that I ought to be. I'm not going back. So, okay, now, I'm going to read this, and I don't do a lot of reading in here because I know that I can lose you, but I feel obligated to read this. The National Football League is guaranteed to strong-arm the state of Texas into supporting the vile transgender agenda because football is the idol of idols for most Americans, including apostate, backslidden, professing Christians. Many of those backslidden Christians are in so-called fundamentalist churches. We're just as guilty as anybody else. The NFL's wicked tactics are very similar to the strong-arm blackmail tactics of the National Basketball Association when they tried to override the state of North Carolina's ban on making all bathrooms transgender. Y'all do know the NBA tried to do that, don't you? So far, the NBA's wicked blackmail has not changed the law in North Carolina, even though big demonstrations were held in Raleigh this past week against that particular law. There were about 20,000 people at that demonstration. Folks, make no mistake about it. The transgender agenda is not about gender rights. It is about ungodly sexual lust, sexual perversion, and child molestation. That's what it's about. The next thing we could see is a demand to a constitutional right for public nudity. That's how far we've gone, folks. Child molestation has been classified as a disorder by the American Psychiatric Association. A disorder. That classification puts it on the same legal footing. Hear that. On the same legal footing as sodomy was before it was legalized throughout the United States. The very same footing. That's where it's going to. And the defense for it is going to be, it's a psychiatric problem. It's a sin problem, folks. It's vile. There is a group of male reprobates in America, and I will not name them here, If you want to ask me about it after, I will tell you who they are. There's a group of male reprobates in America that feel that they have a right to have sex with your minor sons and grandsons. Just as sodomy is condemned in the strongest terms in the King James Bible, so also is the transgender agenda condemned in the strongest of terms in the Word of God. It's condemned. Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. The key word in that verse is abomination. Since God says that those who wear the garments of the opposite sex are an abomination, what do you think God thinks of someone who has a sex change operation? Now, folks, I don't know how many of you know anything about my personal background. I'm a divorced man, okay? I had to go to court right up here in Woodbine, Georgia. And I had to sit across from a lawyer that had had a transgender operation, had had a sex change operation. And you talking about me, a Christian, you talking about being offended in my spirit? Folks, that is about one of the vilest and the most demonic, the most devilish things that I've ever had to deal with. You don't know the wickedness that exudes, the filth that rolls off of an individual like that. Can they be saved? Yes. Now, it will not be long before the vile sodomite and sodomitous hordes are pounding the doors of our homes and demanding that we pass our sons and daughters out to them that they may know them. Genesis 19, verses 4 and 5. It's already happened, folks. Now, the term sodomitous that I just used is found in your King James Bible in a marginal note on Deuteronomy 23, verse 17. It calls out the sodomite in the context. And if you have a King James Bible that has the marginal notes on Deuteronomy 23:17, it's going to be a note there in the margin of your Bible that says sodomitis for the female version of the sodomite, okay? Folks, in some quarters, we have gone way past the perversion of Genesis 19. Here in the United States, because we have devil-possessed individuals demanding that the government and private insurance companies pay for sex change operations. National and state governments are being forced to pay for sex change operations for reprobates in prison and in the United States military. Did you hear that? Young children. And here's another reason that triggered me on this thing this week. Young children are also being forced to take carcinogenic sex therapy drugs in preparation for sex changes. They've been forced to do it. By their parents, of course. The parents have to participate in it now. But at some point in time, that's not going to be, folks. They're going to take that from you. That's where we're headed. Note, how many of you read or have read National Geographic magazine? This is one of the things that triggered me. I got an email in today or sometime during this week that took me to an article that talked about the cover of this month's National Geographic magazine. You know what was on the cover? A child, a male child, a boy, who they had doctored up to be transgender. Now, folks, you tell me what National Geographic is doing trying to promote the transgender agenda. What, aren't they supposed to be all about geography? You tell me there's not an agenda in America by the perverts here. And that's what the Bible calls them. It calls them perverted. That's not a nice term to use, but that's what it is. I believe there are three major reasons that we have so many effeminate boys today. And we do, don't we? Admit it. First of all, they have been raised by a duo of ungodly, reprobate parents. That's where it lies at, okay? The next reason is the absence of a father figure in many homes in America. If the male influence is not there, people absorb stuff from their parents. Children absorb stuff from their parents. The other reason is the electronic pollution in our society through cell phones and computers. Many children have been proven to be catatonic as a result of addiction to cell phones and computers. Boys must be made to do boy things. Not popular today. Make them go outside and play. Make them put the stinking cell phone away. Get them out from in front of the ungodly computer, because it is poisoning their minds, folks. And I know this is offensive to some people, but most children do not need cell phones. Amen. No offense is intended to you mothers that are sitting in here. But boys need masculine men to be their fathers. And girls need feminine women to be their mothers. Said three times for effect. Our mothers need to be feminine. Our wives need to be feminine. Our husbands need to be masculine. We need to be men. We need to stand up for that which is right and pay a cost. Sister Mary. Sister Davis. You're right. And that's a major issue. It all boils down to this. The relationship between the man and God, the relationship between the woman and God,
Amen.
And then the relationship between the man and woman as a husband and wife to God. God set up an order, and it's an order that's in the home, and it's also in the church, folks. We absolutely refuse to obey the word of God in that issue. Now, we are not men. Listen to this. You are not allowed to abuse your wives. You are not allowed to run over them roughshod mentally and spiritually. Under the Lord Jesus Christ, you are co-equals. Period. Husbands, love your wives. And wives, submit unto your husbands, as the Word of God says to do it. Not popular, but it's nonetheless it's truth. Okay. Let me go on and try to finish reading this. The reason we have so many macho girls in our society is because there are mothers that are macho. Effeminate fathers and macho mothers may be politically correct, but they are an abomination to God. They are an abomination to God. People in America are doing what is right in their own eyes. If all the people who claim to be Christians were to boycott the NFL and the NBA, they would choke them to death in one season. Money talks, folks. The problem is that the vast majority of the people who claim to be Christians are nothing but false professing Christians who are still yet in bondage to their hell-bound sin nature. They're in bondage to it. And we've got some Christians that are too, folks. They, talking about these false professing Christians, are as lost as the devil is. But they're not without hope, folks. They do not care what God thinks because they do not know him.
Right.
And I think that's the problem with a lot of professing Christians today. They don't care what God thinks because they don't know him.
Amen.
There is no fear of God before anybody in our society that's not saved.
Right.
Yes, sir. That comes to another issue, doesn't it? And I have some notes in here. Maybe I'll get to them this morning. But it does. You're right, brother. Brother Aubrey, the reason we have the problems that we have is we have unsaved, reprobate parents. That's the reason we have that. And we can't. There is no fear of God before them. As I was saying, they don't fear him because they don't know him. They don't know God. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now, that is why they take pleasure in the sin of others. The fact that the NFL and the NBA are able to use such ungodly and sexually perverted blackmail should result in a death-curdling scream that says, "Hey, America, wake up. Your wickedness is consuming you." Satan is using the fist of wickedness to pound you to death. Folks, that's a term that's used in your King James Bible one time. The fist of wickedness is being used not only to pound unsaved folks to death, but it's being used to pound saved folks to spiritual death, to take their power with God from them because they won't stand anything. The fist of wickedness is a very real thing. And it's very vile, very vicious, very hurtful. Isaiah 58:4, by the way. Folks, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Folks, hell is a real place that exists at the end of a Christ-rejecting life. Nations go to hell and lost sinners go to hell. What is your solution if you're sitting here lost this morning? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." It is through faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance that we come to salvation. Then we do not have to go to hell. If you have not repented, you are not saved. And by the way, repentance, to remind you again, it's not a work of your flesh. It is a work of the indwelling Holy Ghost of God. None of it is of works. Now, the problem for most Christians today is that they believe that they can serve God and mammon. The ultimate in American mammonism, and that is a word, folks, mammonism is football, baseball, and basketball. We have rejected the God of the Bible for the gods and idols of the football field, the baseball field, and the basketball court. We have rejected the God of the Bible for a God of our own choosing. We will certainly do whatsoever things goeth forth out of our own mouths. We'll certainly do that. The prophet, the weeping prophet, made that statement under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. That shows you how hardened we are. When God is rejected, eventually all morality takes a backseat to sexual perversion and moral depravity. The train always derails in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Today, sports is all about money and depravity. The love of money is the root of all evil. Furthermore, money talks where evil walks and stalks. That's where it talks at. There is an evil lurking in our presence that goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Christian, beware. Satan hath desired to have thee that he may sift thee through the wicked sifter of professional sports. The fact that the NFL and the NBA would brazenly assume that they have the power to veto morality and common decency is proof that America is a reprobate nation and that our churches are full of spineless, apostate Christians.
Amen.
When we put sodomites and their perverted transgender partners in charge of Boy Scout and Girl Scout troops, my conscience screams to me, folks. What is wrong with America? Why are we allowing that to happen? Do you realize what kind of danger and what kind of harm's way that puts the child in? How in the name of the living God? How? Can we tolerate that? We have no fear of God, and it goes much deeper than that. We become so hardened, it's unbelievable. In America, we are at the very end of the spiritual and moral perversion described in Romans chapter 1.
Amen.
We're at the very end of it. And by the way, abortion is in that moral decline that comes from rejecting God. It talks about murder. It talks about sodomy. It talks about a number of things in Romans chapter 1. And why is that? Because we have reached the point now. We're in verse 32 in Romans chapter 1. We are taking pleasure in the vileness of this world. That's where we are. When America has degenerated to the point where a discussion of whether a man ought to be allowed in a woman's bathroom is considered to be a legitimate debate, then what we have is the perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds that are destitute of the truth. That's straight Bible, folks. They are destitute of the truth. Brother Jeff. They have, yes. They have, and praise God for it. They've still not changed yet. And we can do the same thing, folks. Here's what Jeremiah 6:15 says. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Isaiah 5, verses 20 and 21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And in the same chapter, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8, where all this stuff is going on, Isaiah 5, verse 8 says this, Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Those that take pleasure in the sins identified in Romans chapter 1 will ascend into the pits of hell, folks. You cannot be a saved sodomite.
Amen.
Okay, now in rebuking the priest of Israel, the Lord said this in Malachi 2:17. Folks, you men in your homes, you're the priest of your home. You're the priest there. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment?
Amen.
I'll tell you where he's at, folks. He's at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. Folks, if you will not judge yourself, God will. Many Christians will not like what I'm about to say. But here it is. Given the hell-bent propensity of the NFL, the NBA, and most other professional and collegiate sports to promote the things that are an abomination to the Lord, if you participate in or watch those events, then you are a partaker in that sin. That's plain and simple. You may as well pick up your Bible and go down to the local beer joint or the local whorehouse and hold your church service there while you have a beer and participate in fornication. That's strong, ain't it? Strong. It's truth, though. Folks, it's time that we stood up. It's time that Christians started living holy lives. It's time that Christians, instead of obeying what man says, instead of obeying what I said, obeys the Holy Ghost of God and this book right here. This book is your guide. And we have forsaken this book. We won't preach it. We won't teach it. Yeah. Yes. That's exactly right. And that's what we're doing. We make a mockery out of it because we take pleasure in it, don't we? Yeah. Now, most folks today are drunken with the spirit of fornicating with professional and collegiate sports. I know that's strong, folks, but where will you draw the line? Be not drunk with the wine of professional and collegiate sports, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not preaching at you folks because I have been guilty also, folks, and I told y'all that at the outset. I'm not just preaching to y'all. It is a time for it to stop for Christian folks. At what point will you say enough is enough? Not to change the scriptures, but to make a personal application of 1 Kings 18:21, we ask this question: how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Satan, then follow him. And of course, I substituted Satan for Baal. And Baal is a Old Testament representative of Satan, folks. So will we serve God or are we going to serve Satan? Of course, we do not want you to follow Satan, but that ultimately is the choice you must make concerning the transgender issue. If you are a Christian, then you cannot fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You will either serve the mammon of professional sports or the God of the Bible. You cannot do that which is right in your own eyes and fellowship with the Lord. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods and idols of professional and collegiate sports or the God of the Bible, who manifested himself in the perfect, sinless flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, folks. If you're saved, he's your Lord. You don't have to make him your Lord. He is your Lord if you're saved. Amen. Now, I would say, ask yourself this question. Just a few questions here. Would the Lord Jesus Christ be able to sit down with you and watch the sporting event that you put before his eyes? The Bible says in the Psalms that I will put no wicked thing before my eyes. The final question that I have for you today is, when will the Lord Jesus Christ be restored to his rightful position of preeminence in your life above whatever it is that you entertain yourself with? Folks, we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and we need to brilliantly shine forth the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to do that by boldly proclaiming the word of God. We need to not just talk about it, folks. We need to walk the talk. We need to live righteous lives. We need to live holy lives. We need to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's a charge that's given to every Christian. Now, at the outset of this, and Brother Darnell asked a question about this, so I'm going to cover this, and I'm going to do this for one reason. Anytime you go and read Deuteronomy 22:5, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 10 through 16, anytime you read those in most fundamentalist churches now, you automatically, the quills jump right up like a porcupine. And they deal with an issue that's not popular. But I'm going to briefly deal with it here this morning. I'm not your judge, okay? The Bible and God is your judge. You are, when anytime you bring up, you're always going to have, when we start talking about the men in women's garment and the length of hair and stuff like that, because that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 11 deals with. And by the way, folks, that's in the context of the Lord's Supper. What about that? But you'll always get those questions come up about what is a man's garment and what is a woman's garment. They will also ask you how much hair is too long for a man and how little is too short for a woman. The Holy Ghost warned us that there would be contentions over this issue in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 11. He said, you're going to have to contend with it. And that's what we're doing here now. We're contending with it. It's an issue that's contending against us and against our fellowship and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is in contention. Folks, God did not give either me or your pastor a tape measure to go around measuring the length of people's hair, how much flesh someone has exposed, or the length of a woman's dress or skirt. Didn't give me the tape measure to do that. I have generally found that when people start asking those types of questions, that they are already pushing the line between what they want and what the Holy Ghost wants for them. That's what I've generally found. That's my experience. In other words, they are under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. The real question is, are you going to be carnal and do what you want to do, or are you going to be holy and obey the Word of God under the direction of the Holy Ghost of God? Not under my direction, under His direction. He's not going to lead you wrong. I'll lead you wrong. Almost without fail in today's unholy cultural Christianity, if you bring up the issues that are pointed out or pointed to by these verses, you are immediately attacked and branded for being a legalist. Or even worse, you're called a Pharisee.
Amen.
That's what I will probably be called. Now let me get this straight. If I point you directly to the verses that address your issue, then that makes me a legalist and a Pharisee? Here it is. Here's where it rests at, folks, and this is strong too. Then it must blasphemously follow that the Holy Ghost is a legalist and a Pharisee for having them recorded in the Word of God. He put them there for a reason. Whether I like them or not doesn't make any difference. Makes no difference. God forbid that we would accuse the Holy Ghost of doing such a thing. God forbid, because it is blasphemy, folks. The dress standards and the Word of God are there for a reason. They are there to protect us and warn us of the perverted minds of the reprobates among us. The cross-dressing transgender issue is perfect proof of that, folks. You see where we are, folks? It hurts my heart to see what has happened to America. Do you know what the source of all of the turmoil that is stirred up in this nation is right now? It is the rejection of this book. And you look at this stuff. This stuff is insane, folks. I can put the Bible down. Never do it, but I can put the Bible down and I can prove to you that it's insane. The liberals always talk about your right to privacy. What about the right of our daughters to privacy in the bathrooms that they go into? What about that? What about that right? What about our rights to obey the Word of God? Folks, we need to pray. And I'm going to give you one other bit of information. I'm going to close because I've run a little bit over here this morning. Do you know that Ivanka Trump and her husband are promoters of the LGBT agenda? Folks, it's not about the political party. Hello? It ain't just the Democrats. It's the Republicans, too. They're wicked. They need to repent. We're in trouble because we've rejected the God of the Bible. And we're at the very end of Romans chapter 1. Folks, we need to pray, folks. I encourage you to look at yourself this morning.
Amen.
Look at yourself. Is there something that you can get out of your life that will give you more power with God, that you might be a more effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? I challenge you to do that. Brother Edward here last night said that there's some things that we ought to confess to the Lord Jesus Christ before we pray.
Amen.
There's some things that we ought to get out. And he made an appeal to the people that were here last night that we would come prepared for this service and confess those things that are hindering our relationship with God. And this agenda and our acceptance of it is one of the reasons for it. Our lack of will to stand up to this stuff shows that we're not near God like we ought to be. Now, I thank y'all for listening. I know this has been tough this morning, but I felt obligated unto God to do what I've done this morning. So, and I do thank you for listening this morning.